Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So a lot of our activities every day are they're linear movements, like moving forward, moving back, moving up against gravity. And what we also need, though, are our supporting muscles to counteract and basically balance out our movements so we don't have excess tension and pressure. And so some of the things I have people work on are their hip abductor muscles and hip rotator muscles on the sides of their hips. These muscles are ignored by just about everyone, even elite athletes and soldiers. I would have soldiers who would come see me because they have to, put on a 50-pound pack and run 12 miles, and they would have all this knee pain. And we would do a simple exercise that works on their side of hip muscles, their hip abductors, and all of a sudden, their knee pain disappears almost immediately.
You are here for a reason, but navigating this human life can be challenging. How do you care for your body, mind, and spirit to make the most of your time here on Earth? How can you harness your incredible human potential? In this podcast, we explore these questions and more to help you craft your best life yet. Welcome to I Am Human.
Hello, humans. I am your host, Dr. Yami, and I am thrilled to be with you today. Thanks for joining me. Thank you also for subscribing to my podcast on your favorite podcast platform, leaving a review, and sharing episodes that you love. To be human means to be vulnerable to injury, illness, and chronic pain. But to be human also means to use different tools and modalities to prevent and heal. And my guest today is an expert in this area, and he's also helping thousands of people prevent and overcome knee pain. Dr. Jonathan Sue, DPT, CIAYT, CSCS, is a physical therapist, yoga therapist, and fitness coach based in the San Francisco Bay Area. His clients include entrepreneurs, executives, and elite athletes. A former U.S. Army officer, he was officer in charge of injury prevention, rehabilitation, and performance optimization for the 25th Infantry Division. Dr. Sue is co-author of the clinical textbook, Netter's Orthopedic Clinical Examination, and author of 6-Minute Fitness at 60 Plus and 6-Minute Core Strength. And today, we're talking about his newest book, 6-Minute Knee Pain Cure. In this episode, we talk about why he became a physical therapist, his personal story on knee pain and how he was able to overcome it and still do all the activities that he loves. But we also talk about prevention and how we can thrive as we age. I think these are themes that you're going to be hearing over and over and over again. And I think it's very, very important that you become empowered, that you become hopeful, that you visualize the future of you as an older person to be one where you feel good, that you're thriving, that you're strong, because it doesn't have to be what we've heard in the past, that you're just going to be old and frail in a rocking chair, in a nursing home. It doesn't have to be that way, but you have to start thinking about it now. It's never too late, but the sooner that we can start thinking about these things, whether it's prevention or treatment of some of these musculoskeletal issues in our body, the better. So I really hope that you enjoy this episode. It's nice and short, but I think it's very practical. And if you are suffering from knee pain, grab this book. It's actually a very quick read. It's got lots of good illustrated exercises, and it tells you exactly how to do this program so that you can overcome your knee pain, but also tells you if you would likely be successful in doing the program. And we're going to talk about that more in this interview. So again, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope that you love this episode, and I hope that you have a very plantastic day.
The information on this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not meant to replace careful evaluation and treatment. If you have concerns about your health or well-being, please consult a healthcare professional.
Dr. Jonathan Soo, welcome to I Am Human. What a pleasure it is to speak with you today.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Yami.
Well, this is the first time I've had a physical therapist on the show, but physical therapists are incredibly important for us in the medical field. I refer all the time to physical therapists, and actually here at my office, I'm a pediatrician, but I have a set of three physical therapists that have their own business that work out of my office. And so I get to chat with them about the different conditions that they treat and the different things that they do. They see a lot of postpartum women and help them with pelvic floor therapy, but also getting back to sports after having babies. So I think that's really cool. So I appreciate you being on the show today and talking about knees.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So let's start from the beginning. Why did you become a physical therapist?
When I was 15, I was involved in a very serious football accident. I pretty much tore every single ligament in my knee. And I was told by my surgeon at the time that by the time I reached my mid-30s, I wouldn't be able to run or be active in my life. I would need a knee replacement. And being that age and being active, I couldn't accept that. So I sort of found my own way. I taught myself how to walk again, how to run. And now in my mid-40s, his prediction never came true. In fact, I move around with zero knee pain. And I just thought it would be important for me to understand the human body, to learn about how to heal from injury, and to help other people also move and feel great.
That's incredible. And I read your book. Excellent book, by the way. I think it's very straightforward. I loved hearing your story. But is it true that you did not have surgery?
That's correct. I've never had any surgery. When I first had the injury, they wanted to do a ligament reconstruction, but I decided against that. I just didn't, you know, for me, I just wanted to figure out if there were ways that I could heal naturally. And so, yeah, I avoided all surgeries.
I mean, that's incredible. That is incredible. As a pediatrician, I have lots of teenagers that are in sports, and ligaments tear all the time, especially football and soccer, and pretty much everybody gets surgery. So for you to have been able to take the initiative as a teenager, which I think is super incredible. I feel like you're a very unusual person, first of all, like type A, like just determined. But now, decades later, being able to do the activities that you love without pain, that is a huge testament to what you were able to do and what you've discovered over time. So tell me, I mean, you had a pretty serious injury. Most people don't have this kind of injury, but how common is knee pain in general?
Knee pain is actually very common. In fact, knee pain is the second most common reason for chronic pain, right behind back pain. And so they say that about 25% of Americans will have knee pain at some point in their life.
That's really common. I didn't know it was that common, but it makes sense because what you talk about in the book, we're using our knees all the time. There's different forces applied to them from the side, you know, top to bottom, all of these things. So that makes sense. So what are the things that cause knee pain? Obviously, injuries like yourself, but what else?
What a lot of people discover as they reach middle age or older is that simple activities such as walking, running, hiking brings on knee pain. So I have a lot of patients where their doctors would tell them, hey, you got to move more, you got to walk more. And they start walking. And about a week into their walks, they start having knee pain. So knee pain can come on even though there's not an injury. And a lot of this is because we haven't figured out yet how to, you know, it's not a common practice in our culture to tune up our bodies. Kind of like we take our cars in for a car tune-up. We need to do the same things with our bodies.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I feel like that aligns a lot with lifestyle medicine, which is what I practice, as well as thinking about prevention too. How can we prevent some of these things from happening, especially when we understand the human body better? What are the things that we can do so that we can preserve our joints and decrease chronic pain and all of that? But before we get to that, I just have a question. And I'm sure you get asked this all the time, but why do knees make so much noise? Like, mine pop all the time. You know, I'm standing up and it's like pop, pop. It doesn't hurt. But, you know, of course, I also lift. I'm squatting. It's like crunching the whole time. Is that normal? Is that bad? Should I be worried?
Having sounds in the knees is pretty common. You should be worried if it's causing pain. Having sounds alone is not a problem. It's likely just different structures sort of rubbing against each other. But it would be ideal if we could reduce that rubbing. And a lot of that has to do with just the micro alignment in your knee. So, you know, if you do a lot of walking or running, or, you know, even squats, lifting weights, there's a lot of quadricep muscles being used. And there's a lot less of the hamstring muscles on the back of your thigh. So my guess is that if you start working on the hamstring muscles on the back of your thigh, there'll be a lot less popping and grinding or sounds happening.
That makes a lot of sense, because my quads are huge compared to the rest of the muscles in my body. I'm doing triathlons right now. So a lot of cycling, running, plus I'm still lifting. So I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm going to have to go through your book and work on those exercises. Let's talk about the knee bend and lift test. How did you create it? And what's the function of this?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, in healthcare, we have a lot of what's called special tests. And we use them as a quick way in the clinic to diagnose conditions. And when I was in the Army as a physical therapist and a human performance and rehabilitation prevention, injury prevention officer, I was seeing a lot of patients, most of them with knee pain. These were active duty soldiers. And I was out in the field with them, and in the middle of nowhere. There was no clinic. I was treating patients on the back of a Humvee if I was lucky, or on the dirt ground if I wasn't. And so I would have patients lined up to see me, about two dozen at a time. And I had to find a very quick way of assessing whether I could help them with their knee pain. If I couldn't, I had to send them back in the rear. And I had to make this decision pretty accurately, because I didn't want to put these soldiers in danger. You know, these guys are carrying 80, 90 pounds of gear. They're running around, hopping fences, you know, sprinting and dropping down to their knees. So I figured out that if I can have a patient bend their knee past 90 degrees and nearly straighten their knee, then that means that all the structures in their knee are intact, and I would most likely be able to help them pretty quickly. And so that's how I came up with the knee bend and lift test, and it's shown to be pretty accurate. So when I left the Army about 7 years ago, I found that test to be pretty accurate with my older adult patients also.
And so basically, this is assessing that someone has enough function to do the program that you would prescribe. Is that correct?
Exactly. So, you know, if someone can't straighten out their knee all the way or bend it all the way, there's something serious going on in that knee, whether it's the muscle or the joints or some of the passive structures like the meniscus. So being able to bend and straighten and lift your leg up, that's a pretty good sign that your knee's pretty well intact.
Let's talk about your program, because I have your book right here, and it's the 6-minute knee pain cure, which obviously when you first read that, I'm a little skeptical. So can we really improve knee pain with just a 6-minute exercise?
Yes. In fact, it's very interesting, because if you look at compliance of patients with medical treatments, especially with, like, you know, they've done research around taking medications, a lot of adults, about half of them, don't even follow their doctor's recommendations for doing something simple like that. So you can imagine if you're asking someone to do exercise, how compliant most people are. So what I figured out with a lot of my patients is that if I give them something simple to do, if I just give them the most effective, most critical interventions, that most of them, the vast majority of them, will adhere to it, and the most of them get better as a result. Now, how quickly can you experience knee pain relief? From my experience working with, you know, just over 50,000 patients at this point, I expect to see some temporary change immediately. That's how I know whether we found the right intervention for a person. So I'll have a patient usually perform a movement or like a function like hopping or walking or going upstairs, and just to kind of assess their knee pain. And then I'll have them perform one of the interventions that I have for them, and I should they should experience an immediate temporary improvement in that knee pain when they reperform that stair climbing or hopping movement.
That's incredible. I mean, I am assuming that your patients feel surprised. Do they seem a little bit surprised that it could be that quick?
They do. They do. And I tell them, I say, hey, listen, what's happening is, you know, we're obviously not building muscles right now, but what's happening is that we're firing the nervous system. Muscles that were maybe offline or not firing enough are now starting to fire. You know, we prime the muscles. And when you exercise muscles for about 15 to 20 minutes, they're primed, meaning they're firing more efficiently, more effectively than they were before. They're not hibernating or sleeping. And so, yeah, people are surprised, but it's something that we see daily in the clinic.
So it's almost like you wake up something that's asleep, but then you still need to keep working on it to strengthen it so that it becomes more permanent, more stable over time.
Exactly, exactly. So in the beginning, the relief might last 15, 20 minutes, but as they start to strengthen that muscle, as that muscle comes online, as it fires more efficiently, the relief lasts for longer and longer, from hours and then days. And eventually, I think what everyone needs is a weekly maintenance program, at least once or twice a week, to ensure that the body still functions well.
So first you assess the patient, you make sure that they can do the knee bend and lift test. They can do that. So then you start working with them on these exercises. We can start to tell pretty soon if they're going to help a person, but then they keep going with the program, they keep strengthening. How long does it typically take before a person may get to the point where they can just get on that just maintenance program?
It really depends on the condition, how long you've had that knee pain for, the reason for the knee pain. But I would say most people with simple, common knee pain, not from a serious injury, pain from just walking or running, they'll notice a pretty big difference in about 2 weeks. And after about 2 weeks, all they need is a 1 or 2 time a week maintenance program.
That's incredible. Well, let's back up a little bit, because something that I'm very interested in, and I know that you are too, is helping us thrive as we age. So what are the things that we could do to maintain the function that we'd like to over time and maybe prevent things? And would we be able to use this program to prevent knee pain? Would that be one of the intended uses, or is it more just for relieving knee pain once it starts?
In the Army, I was the officer in charge of rehabilitation, injury prevention, and human performance optimization. These seems like three different things, but what I discovered after working with, you know, just a whole bunch of soldiers is that the things you do for one will also affect the others. So the things you do to prevent injuries also are the similar things you would do for rehabilitation. And they're also similar things that elite athletes will do to optimize their performance. So yes, I think that by following the types of exercises in this program, if you don't have knee pain now, you can prevent knee pain. And I've seen a lot of patients also who are trying to avoid knee replacement surgery. And these are the same exercises that they can use to do that.
Yeah, one of the things that you wrote in the book, because right now my mother-in-law, who I love very much and is like my second mom, because I know some people do not have a good relationship with their mother-in-law, but I do, and I want her to feel good. But she was having knee pain first in one knee, then in the other knee. And she had the typical MRI that showed bone on bone. And I know as physicians, we learn that there's things that you often find when you go looking for it. And we call them incidental findings. And this happens a lot in the spine too, that you have back pain and then you get a, you know, spine imaging and, oh, guess what? You have a bulging disc, but was it really the bulging disc causing the pain or something different? And so it was one of those things that seemed like it could go down that path of like, okay, we're going to recommend a knee replacement. But she was very good about doing her exercises, went to physical therapy and has improved, which is I'm really grateful about. But a lot of people will talk about that, like, okay, you know, this is definitely a problem, bone on bone, or I have arthritis. Can you speak to that a little bit about some of these common things that happen when we're older? Is that really what's causing the pain?
Yeah, I have patients all the time, exactly like your mother-in-law, where they would have knee pain and they would go get an MRI and x-ray and it would show bone on bone. But you're absolutely right. The x-rays and MRIs can't identify pain. They can only identify structures that are, you know, that have arthritis. And to be quite honest, everyone's going to have arthritis after a certain age. That doesn't mean that that's what the cause of pain is. And in fact, they've done studies where they've taken like 100 people with no pain at all, and they've done MRIs and x-rays of their body to show of their lower back, and it shows like all sorts of crazy things happening, but these guys haven't had any, you know, a day of pain in their life. And then they've also done the reverse where they take 100 people with a lot of back pain, and they'll show that almost half of these people don't have any identifiable issues in their back. So I wouldn't really rely on these things, you know, x-rays and MRIs to diagnose pain, unless you've had a serious acute injury or infection happening. I would go the conservative route. And then, you know, most people are surprised by how good they feel by doing that.
You may not know this, but I love data and measuring my individual metrics. Any numbers that I can gather that will give me insight into my health and help guide my habits, I get very excited about. That's why I was thrilled to try Lumen. Lumen is a super cool device. Lumen is the world's first handheld metabolic coach. It's a device that measures your metabolism through your breath by measuring exhaled carbon dioxide. This is actually what they do in major research labs to measure your metabolism, but now you can do it with a handheld device. Peer-reviewed research evaluating Lumen validated that it matches the gold standard of measuring metabolism. And on the app, it lets you know if you're burning fat or carbs and gives you tailored guidance to improve your nutrition, workout, sleep, and even stress management. It can also track your cycle as well as the onset of menopause and adjust your recommendations to keep your metabolism healthy through hormonal shifts so you can keep up your energy levels and stave off cravings. It's very easy to use, and the app guides you through everything. You measure every morning after you wake up to get a picture of your metabolic flexibility. But you can also measure before and after exercise and before and after meals. I'm currently participating in endurance triathlons and have been working on properly fueling myself for my training sessions. I've really enjoyed using it so far, and I'm looking forward to gaining even more insights about my body as I use it more. The feedback you get from Lumen can be very helpful for athletes, but also for those trying to optimize their energy levels, sleep, or for those using intermittent fasting to reach their health goals. With Lumen, you get individualized feedback so that you can understand and improve your metabolic health. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, go to lumen.me/Dr. Yami to get 15% off your Lumen. That's lumen.me/DRYAMI for 15% off your purchase. Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, can you talk a little bit about the types of exercises that you may prescribe and what you talk about in the book? You don't have to talk about all of them, obviously, but how you're strengthening different areas in order to help the knee feel better.
What I've noticed is that in our modern culture, we have a lot of repetitive movements. So we have over 500 muscles in our bodies, and I don't think we use most of them. So a lot of our activities every day they're linear movements, like moving forward, moving back, moving up against gravity. And what we also need, though, are our supporting muscles to counteract and basically balance out our movements so we don't have excess tension and pressure. And so some of the things I have people work on are their hip abductor muscles and hip rotator muscles on the sides of their hips. These muscles are ignored by just about everyone, even elite athletes and soldiers. I would have soldiers who would come see me because they have to put on a 50-pound pack and run 12 miles, and they would have all this knee pain. And we would do a simple exercise that works on their side of hip muscles, their hip abductors, and all of a sudden their knee pain disappears almost immediately. Same thing with the hamstring, because if you think about it, whenever you take a step, you place about 2 to 3 times of your body weight on your thigh, on your knee, and your thigh muscle, your quadricep muscles on the front of your thigh is what's responsible for keeping you upright against gravity. They contract very hard to keep you upright. When you run, it's you know, many times more than that, about 5 to 10 times your body weight. So now imagine it, you walk a mile, that's 2,000 steps. That's 1,000 impacts on each knee. And so it accumulates over time, over months, over years. And all of a sudden you're overdeveloping your quadriceps and you start having anterior knee pain, pain in the front of your knee. And so what we got to do also is to develop the hamstring muscles on the back of your thigh to balance things out.
That makes a lot of sense. And I completely agree with that, because I also, with this triathlon journey, have realized that once I'm starting to get fatigued with the biking or with the running, that's what starts happening, is I start getting IT band, hip stuff, and hamstring. So I definitely need to be working on those areas for sure, I can tell. Well, tell me a little bit more about your philosophy about thriving as we age. What else, what other kind of things would you recommend that people think about or integrate into their habits and their routines?
Yeah, absolutely. So what people are starting to realize now is that we, as we get older, we start losing muscle mass. Sarcopenia is what they call it. Sarco meaning muscle and penia meaning loss. And so after the age of 50, we lose about 1% to 2% of our muscle mass every year. And after the age of 60, we start losing about 2% to 3% of our muscle mass every year. That's the bad news. But the good news is that this is reversible. So for older adults, I think one of the most important things is to be able to build muscle mass, build strength. But the thing that a lot of older adults don't understand, they don't realize, is that the things they've done prior, like walking and running and hiking, are no longer enough to maintain that muscle mass. So they got to do other things like lunges, squats, basically taking your muscles through a full range of motion against heavier resistance. And so I've had patients who are 100 plus years old who are walking without a cane. They walk like they're 40 or 50 years old. And that's what really changed my mind about the human bodies, having a few patients like that and really looking at them saying, hey, what are you doing differently? And in fact, these handful of patients, what they, you know, what sets them apart is that they've kept up with resistance training.
That is a relief to hear, because I definitely have a goal of doing the best I can to live to 100, whatever I can control. Obviously, there's things outside of our control. But one of the things I worry about is frailty when you get older. And sometimes I see some older adults and, you know, they've lived a healthy lifestyle, but they may have not been paying attention to that resistance training. And they start to kind of get hunched over. You can tell maybe there's some osteoporosis, and then they start doing that shuffling gait that you see of older adults. But what you're telling me is that you've seen people in their hundreds that aren't doing the shuffling gait, and they're able to maintain that upright posture and strength because they're specifically focusing on strength training.
Exactly, exactly.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, that's very hopeful to hear that. Okay, well, this is great. Anything else that you want to tell us about knee pain? And my other question is, I don't think you have this yet, but will there be a shoulder pain book coming out at some point?
You know, you're the second person to ask me that. And I think that's a sign that maybe I need to start working on that.
I know you're probably busy enough, but I just think about my parents, right? So my mother-in-law with her knee pain, and then my dad, his has been shoulder pain, but also he doesn't do any resistance training. And I've been trying to get him to start. He's going to be 75 in August, and I know it's not too late, but I'm just really hoping I can get him to start doing some resistance training to strengthen all of those muscles. I can see as he ages that he is starting to get, you know, that muscle, those changes, everything is like getting lean and he's losing his muscle. So I would love to eventually hand him a 6-minute shoulder pain book so that he can start doing some of those exercises as well. Anything else you want to talk about knee pain?
One of the things I want to just mention is that with knee pain, a lot of people are, you know, when they go see their physicians, a lot of times the first line of defense is medications and injections. And what I find is that sometimes the medications are overprescribed, and same thing with the injections. So the first, you know, when someone has knee pain, they assume that is some sort of arthritis, and itis means inflammation. So a lot of people get these injections, which are painful, and having multiple injections can actually weaken the tissues, and they get these injections unnecessarily. So I would say the first step is just to go for conservative treatments first. And if it doesn't resolve, then go for the injections. But you really got to really identify whether there's actual inflammation happening to make the injections useful.
And I think that one of the root issues is that probably a lot of people don't realize that there are things that they can do. And as you mentioned in your book, and you mentioned earlier in this interview, a lot of times when people go to the physical therapist, it's like 30 to 60 minutes of so many exercises and like two pages of exercises to take home. And it can be very overwhelming. People maybe feel a bit disempowered. And so then they don't do anything at all. So if you don't do anything at all, obviously it's not going to get better. And so then they don't believe that they have the ability to change the situation. So they're just going to succumb to pills and injections and whatever kind of relief that they can get. So I think that your philosophy here is very important. But I think the first step is people realizing, look, Dr. Su is very experienced. He's worked with over 50,000 people. And what he's telling you is, if you do this and you stick to it, you can get relief. And so I think once people know that, then they're more willing to do the program rather than just like, oh, well, let's see if this works. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it anyway. And it didn't get better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you know, you really hit the nail on the head with the whole, you know, having handouts and too many exercises. It's really shocking to me to see that, because I think what happens is that people are so, you know, there's a shortage of physical therapists. And so a lot of therapists are overwhelmed. And what ends up happening is that they get a cookie cutter they give out a cookie cutter handout. And so half the exercises people are doing aren't even appropriate for them, meaning they're not helpful. They're not harmful, but they're not helpful. And what it does is it drains their energy, it drains their attention, and it really reduces the effectiveness of the program. So what I discovered is that the reason for most people's knee pain after the acute phases, after initial injury, you know, 6 to 8 weeks after the injury or surgery, the reasons are pretty similar. We just have to build certain muscles, lengthen others. And once we do that, then the majority of the knee pain goes away.
So that can bring a lot of hope to people that they're able to actually do something themselves instead of having to just use medicines or injection after injection. Okay, this has been fantastic, Dr. Su. So let me ask you a few more questions, shift gears here. What do you wish more people knew? This can be about anything. What do you wish more people knew?
I live and breathe physical therapy. And so I really wish that people knew that they didn't have to suffer from pain, that being older doesn't mean getting weaker. You know, I spend a lot of my time coaching patients to sort of help them understand that, you know, these beliefs are not true. There's evidence showing, research showing that people in their 90s can build muscle mass. And I used to, you know, when I go to restaurants, I would talk to the waiter just randomly and ask them, hey, do you have pain? And how old are you? And what do you think about that? And the answers just surprised me. You know, I got people in their 30s saying, well, yeah, I got back pain and shoulder pain, but that's normal because I'm getting older. It's like, no, it's not normal. You don't have to suffer.
I love how passionate you are. So that's so funny. It reminds me, I've had this whole goal of like trying to live to 100 for a while, especially because I'm very passionate about lifestyle medicine. And I was checking out the grocery store one time. I don't even know how this topic came up, but I asked the lady if she wanted to try to live to when she was 100. And she was like, absolutely not. She was in her 50s and she was already in so much pain. She was already suffering so much from all of her chronic conditions that she had no desire to live 50 more years. And that was the first time in my life that it actually hit me that that was a thing, that some people actually don't want to live a long time because they're associating living that long with feeling bad. So I'm like you, I want people to realize that there are things we can do with our diet, our lifestyle, obviously our exercise and everything, so that we can have that future of living a long time and feeling good and thriving. So I'm so happy that you're also passionate about that and you're out there helping encourage people to have that mindset as well.
You know, and I love your, you know, the message that you're delivering, because you're absolutely right. You know, there's a foundation of good nutrition that needs to, you know, be the building block so that your muscles can recover and build appropriately.
Yes, it's all related. And obviously, you know, it's all connected. So we can't just do one thing and neglect everything else, you know, but nutrition is my favorite. And that's what I spent a lot of time talking about. And I think that a lot of people do not realize the power of nutrition, but I've definitely had orthopedic surgeons and other medical professionals on here that say that, yes, when I talk to patients that are getting surgery, I tell them, yeah, you're going to get surgery. I'm going to help you this way, but you can help even more by having a good foundation of nutrition before and after your surgery so that you can augment what I've done here. And I'm glad that there's other professionals out there that realize that importance. Well, I'd love to know, how do you define success in this lifetime?
For me, it's just bringing a more full and whole version of myself to what I do in life with my patients, with my family. You know, I think we all go through life with different traumas and, you know, painful experiences. And sometimes we, you know, at least for me, I close off parts of myself. And I guess for me to be a success, I want to be able to bring more vulnerability into life.
And presence. I feel like that's a big one for me too, is being present and not always being distracted by past, future, here and there, you know, being there, being right now where we are. Is there a goal or a dream that has evaded you? Or is there something that you have left on your bucket list that you'd be willing to share with us?
Yeah, so I always wanted to become a musician, electronic music production. And I spent...
Oh my goodness, EDM is my favorite.
Yeah, by the way...
You're working on it? What's the next step here?
Well, I realized I tried working on it in my mid-20s, and I realized I just wasn't very good at it. You know, I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, so I went and I would go to ride BART to go have a professional singing teacher once a week. And I would drive like 50 miles to San Pablo to have like a blues jazz, you know, teacher, you know, teach me. And I think they both fired me because I was just not good. But so these days, I'm happy just listening to great music.
I love that. They fired you. Oh, well, maybe that's going to be another lifetime then. But I'm a little surprised because I'm curious about like your childhood. It seems like you are just a very determined person. You do things all the way. So what do you think has shaped you into being the kind of person you are?
Yeah, I guess being stubborn. I don't like when people tell me no, when they tell me I can't, and I don't care who that person is. It could be a surgeon saying that you're not going to be able to enjoy a physical active life, you know, and I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to prove you wrong. And it doesn't always work out, like with the music thing, but when it does, it's great because you start realizing that there's more than you thought possible. And I hope more people can do that.
What does it mean to be human?
For me, to be human is to, I guess what you said earlier, to be vulnerable and to be present.
I love it. That's beautiful. Well, Dr. Sue, thank you so much for all the information you've given us today, but especially just thank you for all the work that you do, the passion that you put into your work, because I know that you've helped so many people. And I really appreciate also your service in the armed forces, because that's a big deal. And you know, that's a lot of sacrifice too. So I appreciate the time that you've spent there, but also to help our troops to feel better and to help them thrive as much as you can. So thank you for that. And thank you for all that you continue to do. And if you could please let us know where we can stay in touch with you, where people can find your books. Maybe if you can tell us some of the other books that you have that people might be interested in.
I have a website, 6minutefitness.com. all spelled out. And I have another book called 6 Minute Fitness at 60 Plus for the older adults. And also another book called 6 Minute Core Strength for helping people develop, you know, shoulder strength, hip strength, back strength to have a strong and stable core.
So I appreciate you so much, Dr. Sue. Thank you so much for everything that you have done. And I hope that you have a very plantastic day.
Thank you, Dr. Yami.
Thank you for listening to another episode of I Am Human. I would be so honored if you subscribe to the podcast so that you never miss an episode. We love our listeners and take your feedback seriously. If you have questions or constructive feedback, you can email us at podcast@dryami.com. That's podcast@dryami.com. I am your host,
Dr. Yami Cazorla Lancaster. I Am Human is produced by myself and Alejandra Parra. Graphics designed by Alejandra Parra. Music by Angela Sof with Glowbox Productions and edited by the Castos production team. Remember, human, you are here for a reason. Have fun, explore, and live your life to the fullest.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.